So, we'll be back just in a minute. We'll talk about it. Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. This is, like I say, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We've got a brand new series. We're going into the heavens again tonight. We're going to look at the possibility of objects that are passing by. The Bible talks about an extreme dangerous time in the end times, and it could be some of the prophecies that we're going to discuss, the comet planet. Now, you've probably heard of it. It's better known as Planet X. The ancient world actually believed in a mysterious comet planet that would pass Earth in great intervals, 3,600-year cycles, orbit in and orbit out, over several thousand years, and this is a backwards orbit. For instance, most all of the orbits of other planetaries are actually reverse course to what Planet X is. Planet X comes in clockwise. And the scholars who are studying these things know that there's a planet there. We know that. There's no denying it. The perturbation is affecting in this general area where that the ancient Sumerians called the planet Nibiru. The Egyptians named it the planet of a million years. And ancient Babylon renamed it Marduk, which was the name of their god, of course. And the Sumerians in 3400 BC believed in a solar system much or such as we have today, they were that advanced in astronomy. They knew that the Earth was round, and they knew that it revolved around the sun with 11 other celestial bodies. Had Pluto identified. Now, think about this. We didn't discover Pluto till the 30s. Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Earth, Venus, Mercury, the Moon, the Sun, and the 12th celestial body being the comet planet, which is actually planet 10 in our solar system. So then, they knew a lot about the heavens. Now, for somebody that knows a lot, maybe we should listen up. And that's what we're going to talk about here in these times when we realize that we've never seen Planet X. Now, isn't that something? Our astronomers, our advanced telescopes, we're monitoring. Matter of fact, people are computers. Everything in the heaven is being monitored. They're listening. They have great searches. They listen for hydrogen signals from other planets and things that are abnormal. They listen for that. And although Pluto was not discovered until 1856. And until the 1600s, much of humanity believed that the world was flat and the sun revolved around the earth. Now that's how, you know, it's just like the airplane. You know, look how far we've come in 100 years from the Wright brothers, or a little over 100 years. Now some ancient texts, and I think maybe that, like I say, we should, since they knew about these things, or they say they do, they got them wrote down, they claim that Nibiru, or Planet X, passed Earth every 3,600 years. Or there is something that happens every 10,500 years. And we're getting in the first time in 2,600,000 or 26,000 years, we are coming to what is known as the planet crossing, or the heaven universe crossing, the constellation. We're going to cross at the center point below the ecliptic plane for the first time. We're going to view the heavens like we've never viewed them before. Is it possible that we could view something that we don't want to see? Now, let me interject in this, and this is not to scare you. What if your government, with the high-powered telescopes, Hubble, we know now, let me tell you something. We know on other planets like Mars and other moons and other places that they have airbrushed the mapping, the camera action of these, some of these planets, some of these things which have produced very odd or unusual or peculiar pictures have been airbrushed or been doctored. Why would they want to do that? Well, it's very simple. What you don't know won't hurt them. But what they know could hurt you. Now, notice this. Many of the ancient religions, including our own Bible, teach us that we were seeded from the stars. Somewhere out there. In Genesis 6:3, Yahweh told Noah, "My spirit will not always strive with man, therefore his years will be 120. Now, if you divide 120 years into 432,000 years, you get 3,600 years. And that's the time of the length of the orbit that they believed it took Nibiru to make a complete revolution around the sun as it passes Earth. That means that a year of a comet planet is 3,600 years versus 360 or 365 days for an Earth year. This is almost reminiscent of the Bible when it reads a day with Yahweh is 1,000 years. That's 1,000 years. The question is now, when did Nibiru, the comet planet, last pass this Earth? That's the question we're going to look at. We're going to explore that. We want you to use your, well, I'd hate to say imagination, but use your knowledge, use your wisdom, use your intuitive ability to focus in on this fact that we're not alone. That is an absolute. Anybody that believes in a creator, God. We call him Yahweh. You can call him God. You can call him whatever you want to. But let's get together on and try to decide if every 3,600 years we have a catastrophic event. Now, I hate to suggest this. This is very suggestive. And I wouldn't want to imply that the government's trying to hide something from us. But let's just say that we're preoccupied at this moment, and could be for quite a while, with the Gulf area of the United States, and the United States is the most advanced communicative nation on Earth, and so the rest of the world is looking with us as we watch the Gulf, as we're concerned. This is the 78th, maybe the 79th day of a massive, a catastrophic oil leakage in the Gulf region, and it's getting worse by the hour. The oil has just come into Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans, and we now know that there's oil on the beaches of Texas and in Mexico, so it's drifting west and east, and once it gets upon the north side of Miami, on that side going up the east coast, it could get in the main shipping channels and then get to Europe. Now, here's a scenario. Dr. Gary and I were listening to a well-known personality today on a DVD, and he was talking about some of the things that about the options that we got now. Now, BP has in the pipeline, so to speak, and no pun intended there, but they are drilling a exit well or relief well to tap into the present well that they've got dug. Now, this individual, Lindsay Williams, was saying that they know that it's useless to drill these wells. They're optimistic. It's their only hope. Because when they ask the chief engineer on the drilling rig what they had in the pipeline, if this doesn't work, he said he didn't even want to entertain it. They had no option other than explosives, and they feared, Mr. Lindsay Williams said, that dropping an explosive charge to cave the well in on itself, which is, you know, seems logical that it would fill it in on a massive scale. But Mr. Williams says that the problem is it has giant fissures, fractures, if you will, in the ocean floor, and gas, a pressure. That's why that the pressure increased. And it's escaping, and a nuclear charge, even a light one, could trigger the opening of the fissures that are already there and crack the floor even farther. And then more oil could escape. And here is their figures. This is BP and some of the best minds that are work on this project, if you believe the best minds are working on it. Sometimes I wonder. Nobody seems like... I was telling Doc today that it seems like the only person that's alarmed about this is the governor of Louisiana. He's waving his arms and jumping up and down and trying to get relief ships in and skimmers and things, and he can't get nobody's attention. At least that's what he says. Well, if Mr. Williams says if that the fissures keep expanding and cracking in the ocean floor, that this could be a nightmare in the bottom of our ocean for 30 years before it's extinguished by nature, because man would have no chance of ever plugging or stopping it. Now, isn't that frightening? 30 years of over 1 million gallon of oil a day coming into the ocean, and it could increase, heaven forbid. What's up here? I mean, is somebody trying to cover up something that they know that is inevitable? Is 20 and 12, and I know you've heard a lot of scare tactics stories, but some of this could be true. I mean, there's a chance, the way the Bible reads, that there's going to be fearful signs appear in the heavens. Now, what would it mean if there is a comet that is going to come into our solar system, and that its gravitational pull, science would tell us, if it does enter into our solar system, it would tell us with all certainty that it would affect our gravitational pull on Earth, and there could be massive earthquakes, which is predicted in the Bible. There could be upheavals. There could be whole beds, oceans, along with the pollution and things of this nature, that we're already adding to the misery of how we're treating the Earth. In the spring of 2004, I want to remind you of something. NASA announced Planet X, the 10th planet, exists as a comet planet, and NASA named it Sedna. NASA claims that Sedna is smaller than Pluto and passes Earth every 10,500 years at a safe and harmless distance of 950 million miles. It is possible that NASA had to announce the existence of Planet X as a comet planet, as Earth-based observatories will soon see Nibiru, but NASA is deliberately confusing safe and tiny Sedna with the coming of the true Planet X, which is Nibiru, with its potentials for global destruction. As we know, in the past, something has wreaked havoc. And they assume every 3,600 years that Nibiru, that it written about the Sumerians in tablet form, that this may not be a hoax. Maybe they weren't scratching on these tablets in stone, chiseling these messages out to us. They've already been deciphered and interpreted about the planetary astrological of facts, of planets and movements in the heaven. Potential global destruction. Now, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, could the gravitational pull of Nibiru be so strong that its passing Earth caused the Earth to reverse and spin on its axis, causing daylight for 24 hours. Is that possible? As the book of Joshua chapter 10, verse 13 says, something happened. There are ancient legends in the South American world of a day of darkness, and that makes sense. If Israel, which is the Mideast, experienced 24 hours of daylight, South America on the other side of the earth would have experienced 24 hours of darkness. And there's records to indicate that that's exactly what they experienced. The ancient Mayans had an astrological calendar that is a 5,000-year calendar, which ends on December the 22nd, 2012, and many believe that this date is the date that they specified it to end, planned it for that reason, to call attention to a day of possible doomsday scenarios, a day of global cataclysm. Waves of the sea roaring in the last days. Did the Messiah know this when he spoke about that there would be great signs in the heavens? Well, nobody is actually talking about great signs right now. There's a lot of buzz about Y2K, and that went off without a hitch, no problem there, but that had nothing to do with the heavens. That was just an age when that they thought that man's computers would not link up and would cause massive power failures. And I mean, the results was endless, and we were all afraid. We all wondered. We weren't taking no chances. We stored food, and we're storing food now. Why? Is the government storing any food? Hell yes, is the answer. They're working overtime. They are mining giant holes in lava deep in the earth. They are gouging out giant caves and caverns to hold and to store and to put up food. What for? Now, I've long questioned why in the world that they would spray chemtrails in certain positions of the sky. I have always been fascinated at that. And lately, I've changed my thinking a little bit on this. And I know I'm one of those, you know, guys that my imagination runs wild. I don't trust the government. I mean, if they're watching out for their own interest, I mean, the food that they're storing is certainly not for me. I doubt it's for you. Well, who's it for? Well, you've not been invited to the party. That's why I don't trust them. And here, the ancient Mayans that spoke of these possibilities, and we know that Nostradamus, I hate to bring him in because he's an often mentioned seer, that prophesied in the quatrains in C10 272, in the year 1999 and 7 months, the great king of terror shall come from the sky. He will bring to life the king of the Mongols before and after Mars reigns happily. Now that's his. Now listen to this now. In terms of astronomy, the planet Mars is closer to Earth today than it has been in the last 60,000 years. As of 27th of August 2003 AD, the planet Mars, for the first time in 60,000 years, it is at its closest point. Now, Mars is the ancient god, mythical god, that influences war. When you see your sign, Mars, when it's in your field, or in your house, as they say in astrology, it's the war planet. And since July 1999, Mars reigns happily as war explodes across the world since 1999. And we're in it today. We've got two wars and several skirmishes going even as I speak. The Afghanistan war has been going for, will be soon, 10 years. 10 years. That takes you back to around 1999. July 1999, there was war in Serbia. September 1999, Palestinians launched a non-stop terror attack against the State of Israel. September the 11th, 2001, terrorist planes hit the World Trade Terror Center. And the United States has definitely not been the same. November 2001, USA goes to war in Afghanistan, and we're still there. We're still in Iraq, and pretty soon we'll be in Iran. March 2003, USA and Britain go to war against Saddam. January the 1st, 2005, terror attacks and war rages across Iraq with no end in sight, and they're still having bombing and killing. It's the age of Mars in the quatrain that Nostradamus predicted the year 1999. It's about when it started. And Mars has been the dominant planet in the sign of war. And the Bible says, there shall be wars. That's the war planet, Mars. Now, I hate to tell you that the Messiah knew a little bit of astrology and astronomy himself. If you really want to know what he told him in Luke 22:10, he was waiting on the sign of Aquarius. He said, wait for that sign. And did you know that we're fixing to move into the Aquarian age, which is the picture of a man in the heavens after the great battle of the serpent in Hydrus? In the constellation of Sagittarius, where we're coming into this age of the planet of the crossing, right now, all this is adding up. We're coming into these signs where the Messiah said himself, when you see these signs, look for these signs, and he said there'll be signs in the heavens. Well, he wasn't talking about a neon sign flashing up there. Look over here. He knew that man would be constantly looking. You see, they were looking for him when he came. He had a sign. The wise men found it. Nobody else knew where it was at. Even Herod missed it. His wise men missed it. The Pharisees missed it. The Jews never even acknowledged it. They didn't know what to think. It was the prophet Micah who they despised and hated that prophesied it was coming. It was prophesied by Moses, a star out of Jacob. And lo and behold, at Bethel, 2,000 years ago approximately, there was someone born where his name is written in the mountain of Bethel, which is House of Bread or Bethlehem. At the time, there was no Bethlehem, Judea, and we've been hoodwinked there. And that's another whole message. It's possible. That we could be misled by the government to hide the fact. Now what if you knew that there was a large planet coming in, and you got the scientific facts that if it did come into our solar system, it would wreak havoc? Storms? Power shortages? Food shortages? Is this when the world is plunged into chaotic conditions? Why is the government storing food? And then they pass a law and tell you not to. We were encouraged to have storages and safe places and fallout shelters and hiding places in the 50s. But then the philosophy of the government changed. They quit thinking about you and started thinking about themselves. The resulting destruction of a potential entrance of the wayward planet. In Joshua chapter 10:13, the gravitation pull of Nibiru could have been so strong that its passing could have caused the earth to reverse the spin on its axis, causing daylight for 24 hours. It's possible. Oh my. And are we set? Nothing new under the sun. What is to be has already been. Could be coming right back down the pike. The devil may be throwing us a fastball while you're worrying about the gulf. Larger problems exist out there for a nation that's incapable even a nuclear strike out in space. And they talked about and that these contingency plans exist. That it so happens to be that we are in danger right now. They're watching a large chunk of space debris. And they talked about nuking it. Shooting a rocket out and nuking it out of its present orbit, because it's going to come dangerously close to the planet here in about 25 or 30 years. And it could wreck havoc. Now, Mars then reigns happily indeed, as Nostradamus predicted it would in this age from 99 on up to 20 and 12. Wars and rumors of wars. Is that what the Messiah said? Of course that's what he said. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you know this or not, but they're planning the third war. We're on the verge of going to war in the Middle East, and this could plunge the world. And I believe that's why we're having a depressive, oppressive financial meltdown timed. You see, people are more submissive when they don't have jobs, when there's fear of having a tomorrow or a home or a place to eat or a place to sleep. We've been happily rocked to sleep. And now all of a sudden, those things that we have worked for has been ripped out of our hands, stolen from us. And that wealth is gathered in the coffers of our enemies, I'm telling you. There could be the comet, he could be talking about the comet here in the quatrain, shall bring to life the king of the Mongols. The resulting destruction, which would be famine, caused by a comet planet would cause China. They're already hungry to go to war for food. The Mongols. Nostradamus, it tells us two more facts about the passing of Nibiru and the comet Punnett. There will appear towards the seven stars of Ursa Minor and Polaris, not far from Cancer, the bearded star. Now, that means a comet with a tail. Susa, Senna, Boyatoa, Great Rome, will die, the night having vanished. Now here's how he sees it. Here's how Nostradamus, the great astronomer, he saw this planet called Nibiru, the comet planet coming towards Earth from Cancer, constellation, from the south, passing through the Big Dipper to the North Star. Now listen to this. The great star will blaze for 7 days, and the cloud will cause two suns to appear. Now, amazingly, that's what NASA announced. They saw two suns. And then they blotted it out and denied it. Just a bad set of information. Well, they're good to change their, you know, I mean, this could have caused panic worldwide. People out of control, ungovernable. Wouldn't it be to the government's interest if they knew it? What could they? I mean, people would just make matters worse. They'd be wringing their hands and demanding something happened. Shoot a missile somewhere. Hell, there's no missile development. There's not an atom bomb or a nuclear bomb or nothing that will stop the cloud. With the beard. Rome. Now, notice what he goes on to say here. This is some of the prophecy. The great star will blaze for 7 days, causing the two suns to appear. And that's exactly what would happen if that planet X would come in from the southern route. And it would cause widespread devastation, and Rome is already sinking in the ocean anyway. And that's when the prophet, which is prophesied, that he will move his headquarters out of Rome. He'll be forced to leave. Now, this will be a gradual sinking, probably. And they would make plans to abandon the little boot of Italy, where Rome is located. Listen to this. He saw the great comet become visible to Earth for 7 days. Visible. It will bring destruction upon Britain, Rome, and the Vatican, or the Pontiff. The cataclysm would happen, and that's part of the tribulation, which could be an asteroid impact or an upheaval of gravitational pull that could be so devastating that, assuming that 20 and 12 will be the passing of the comet planet, which Nostradamus wrote of, now you can see a pattern emerging here, which would be 20 and 12 would be the general area, give or take a few years now, of the next pass of the 3600 orbit, which we know we're getting in close to this orbit time. In 1588 BC, that would be the era of Joshua's time, and the sun stood still for 24 hours. In 87-88 BC would be the Stone Age, when 12,000 388 B.C. leading to the great flood of Noah, and many scientists believe that the flood occurred in 11,000 B.C. Most biblical scholars place the great flood around 5200 B.C., which would be another time period passing of Nibiru. That's why this gravitational pull of the heavens and the perturbation, they know there's something out there, which would pull the earth, and when the comet passes, it could break up large mountain chains, glaciers, 1,000-foot tidal waves flooding the earth. Exactly what the Bible says in Genesis 6. And so then the 5,000-year Mayan calendar ends on December the 22nd, 20 and 12, and the ancient Mayans claimed that the calendar was given to them by a white-bearded god called the Feathered Serpent. That would have been in the year 3012 B.C. According to ancient Egyptian records, the god Thoth left Egypt in the year 3113 B.C. and may have reappeared in the Americas, particularly the South Americas. It is possible that these gods were actually extraterrestrials. Whether alien or demonic spirits, we don't know. They could have advanced knowledge of our universe, and 20 and 12 comes out in A.D. as a probable the date when Nibiru, the comet, again, will pass planet Earth. One-third of the Earth will be on fire. And the first angel sounded, and hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And you say, "Oh, hockey puck." That's what the Bible said, Revelation 8 and 7. I ain't write it. It's the exact scenario that I just read you about the comet passing in the time frame. And here the Bible is acknowledging it in Revelations 8 and 7. One-third of the earth will be lit up. One-third of the green grass will be burned up. One-third of the trees will be destroyed. Well, that's already not come to pass. One large fragment of an asteroid approximately a mile in diameter could crash into the sea, and the result would be catastrophic. Just a mile wide. Notice what it says in Revelation 8 and 8, which is the number of a new beginning. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. But you say it ain't going to happen. I believe the government's concerned. Hell, they're boring into the earth. They're hiding. Did the scriptures prophesy of a great mountain, hill, rock, asteroid? Did they see it coming into the sea, falling into the ocean, sometime after 2000 A.D.? A great mountain 1 mile in circumference, after peace, war, famine, flooding, it will spread fire, grounding, antiquities, and their mighty foundations. That's Quatrain Q69. I tell you what, it's amazing. It is actually a mess. Yahweh would not do anything. It is. Now, here in NASA, they've got mixed views. They've agreed that of these things, and they question two more, and they're going to disagree. They have mixed views about the comet planet on their websites. NASA cannot tell us the truth about comet planet and if it will pass in 2012. It would trigger mass panic, chaos, anarchy on a massive global scale. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a time of trouble. Maybe the real reason that we're waging war against Saddam and we had 9-1-1, we had all these things, and now we've got the Gulf thing, something to keep us diverted, keep us from looking up. Did you know, today, very few people look up? Hell, they can't even recognize a chemtrail in the sky. Now, this is amazing how they can do this. They can spray this stuff, whatever what it is, and it will start spreading very slowly, not like a contrail or a jet trail. Most people think that's what these are. But these stay and they form and they begin to spread and they lay a giant cloud cover. It just blends right in with the heavens, and it actually blocks the view at certain angles of certain places on the earth, and they don't spray all over the earth. They spray periodically in certain places, like they have the orbit prediction locations of something they don't want you to see, or they're trying to hide a certain piece of the sky from you. I'm telling you, folks, it would be very important for them as a government to maintain control is to not let you know it until it's too late. And the Bible says it's going to come up on you unaware, and that's what it's talking about. The great mountain, 1 mile in circumference, after peace, war, famine, flooding, it will spread fire, drowning, and it will shake the mighty foundations. Now, he even tells us where it's going to splash down. If it's an asteroid, Nostradamus tells us. At the place where Jason built his ships, there will be such a great sudden flood that no one on the land will have a place to stand on. The waters mount the Olympus Flestalon, and that's Aquantrain 16. Many interpret the Olympus Festalon to mean Mount Olympus near Greece. And as the mountain is close to 10,000 feet high, that would be a projected massive tidal wave if there was an impact, and we would have a tidal wave that would leave no place for someone's feet on 10,000 foot high mountain. That's what it says here. That's his prediction. Now, he has more predictions about the impact that we're going to talk about Friday night. And its effect in the sea. The waves of the sea roar, and the Messiah said, what does that mean? You see a storm on the ocean, and you'll see the waves come in, and, you know, the tide and all this general stuff that's going on for millions of years. But if there was an impact asteroid to hit the ocean, would cause a massive tidal wave, what the modern, especially in the Indian Ocean area of the Earth. They call it a tsunami. He predicted that heat upon the water, like that of the sun, around the Nero point, the fish will become half-cooked. 7 times it approaches the seashore, a tidal wave of Monaco. Very near the Tiber hurries the angel of death a short while before a great flood. Quatrain Q93. He's predicting doom somewhere after the time of 2000. We could have it. It's not out of the improbable zone. This could happen. I hope it don't. I pray it don't. For your sake and my sake. Honey, you're talking about famine, pestilence. Isn't that what? I mean, the Messiah didn't cut no corners. He told us it's coming. The Bible warns us. All this indicates that we're going to have a possible asteroid, or either that or a gravitational disturbance that would cause massive upheavals. And the impact, now the asteroid, which initially hit the Aegean Sea and the Mediterranean Ocean, which is the island of Nero Point, modern-day Avoa, the impact heat blast upon the water would equal the force of 1,000 megaton nuclear missile and produce a massive tidal wave which would flood Monaco, Mount Olympus, Athens, and major ports of Italy, including Florence. And the book of Revelations places this asteroid impact in Revelation 8 and 10 during the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist is on the scene as the new Messiah and world teacher, and people eating out of his hand and bleeding. Yahweh would rain down great stones from heaven. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell upon a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Revelations 8, 10, and 11. I got to stop right here, but I look forward to Friday night. Part 2 of Asteroid Impact Possibility, coming soon to planet Earth. Are you ready? Are you prayed up? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready for the capture of a rapture of the wicked that is going to be removed from the earth? Are you ready to endure as the righteous the onslaught of Satan, the anti-Messiah, wearing out the saints of the Most High? Well, you better get ready. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I would appreciate it if you could write us and send us a love offering to keep us preaching and teaching. And we pray over every offering that you send. We keep them private. And we ask you to mail your offerings to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284 in New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, transmitting Jewel South. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. We're going to see fearful signs. We're going to have saviors that's going to try to come in and rescue us. and they're going to see the very elect. So you might as well get ready, folks. We're living in this age. Keep your eye on the Gulf. Something's fixing to happen on an unprecedented scale. Something's planned. It's an event to keep your head maybe turned to look in after things that's coming upon the earth. And when they say peace and safety, and then cometh the sudden destruction. Are you ready for that? Well, I hope you are. I hope that Yahweh would bless you and give you a reason to want to live here for Him and no one else. Cast all your cares aside and cast them upon Him, for He cares for you. He will hide you in the palm of His hand. He will walk with you, and He will speak to you and say, go this way. He's going to have a people that's going to be praising Him when He comes back, and I want you to be one of them. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, Part 2 of Asteroid Impact Possibility, Planet Earth. I love you. I'll see you then.
Ba 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 ba